Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm EQMM's editor, Janet Hutchings. Michael Z. Lewin has been contributing a variety of different types of stories to EQMM for many years. He's probably best known for his novels and stories featuring Indianapolis private eye Albert Sampson, but another popular Lewin series stars police officer Leroy Powder, the protagonist of the story we're presenting this month. Here is Michael Z. Lewin reading his story, The Cards You're Dealt, from the November-December 2020 issue of EQMM.
So, Sergeant Powder, here's a case that would benefit from your wealth of antediluvian experience. Lieutenant Hunter handed Powder a slim folder. I'm surprised a lickspittle like you even knows the word antediluvian, Hunter, Powder said. Hunter smirked. Brewing for yet another insubordination rap to go to the media with, Leroy? Sorry, there won't be anything in this one for them, but there's always tomorrow. And don't forget, you can be busted again, however reluctant they might be to terminate you altogether. How much of a hit on your final pension rate can you afford? They explained how my pension depends on my final rank at the hearing, Lieutenant. That didn't get me to quit any more than you will. So now, help me become a better cop, Powder said. Which was it that you objected to? The lick? The spittle? Or my surprise that you came up with a six-syllable word? Hunter shook his head. I'm damned if I'm going to wrap my days up in disciplinary paperwork for an attention seeker. Go solve the case. Become a hero again. Maybe they'll make you Indy's next chief. Hunter turned away, and Powder smiled inside. Had the man revealed himself by having the concept of chief so ready at his tongue tip? But Hunter was only a tiny burr under Powder's saddle of history and sense of calling. As his new squad lieutenant, the man was entitled to assign cases. So Powder took the folder to a table. The case began with the description of a hit and run. Jesse Warren, 12, had been cycling on Printer Street when a small red car came out of an alley and knocked him over. He cracked his head as he landed and was still in intensive care, though apparently not in grave danger. The car's driver hadn't stopped and, as yet, hadn't been identified. There were three witness reports. All agreed that the offending vehicle was a car, small and red. Two identified the driver as a woman, one as a man. Two with blonde hair, one with red. Only one guessed as to the make of the car, a Hyundai. No one had noticed any part of the plate number, though. One was pretty sure there was a sticker at the bottom of the hatchback that showed fingers as if someone inside was trying to get out, which Powder thought was interesting. A witness wouldn't be likely to make up a detail like that out of nowhere, so if taken as fact, it suggested a younger rather than older driver, or at least owner, of the car. Not necessarily the same person. So why not stop after she or he had knocked a bike over? No insurance? Another hint of a younger driver? On the other hand, why leave the alley like a bat out of a bat cave? Was the driver being pursued? No witness mentioned seeing any other vehicle emerge from the alley, nor had the patrol officers who arrived at the scene after 2911 calls. So, had the driver stolen the car? Or was she or he just late for an appointment with Lieutenant Hunter? A check for small red cars stolen in the last 3 days, Marion County proved negative. But maybe the color ID was wrong, or it had been stolen before, or would be reported soon. Many possible lines of inquiry came to Powder's mind, but unfortunately for his mental discursions, identifying the driver wasn't the case he'd been given. The detective leading the hit-and-run investigation was Sampson, Detective Sampson, new recipient of her silver shield. Sam Sampson was the daughter of a longtime acquaintance. Powder wondered how it felt for a private detective, Daddy Sampson, to have a public detective in the family now. Would he leave all the meddling to the real pros at long last? Powder's run-ins with Albert Sampson had been many, various, and by no means always pleasant or even constructive. But Sampson's arrival in the squad made him think about his own child. How would he feel if the situation was flipped, if Ricky became a PI? The truth was that Powder would be thrilled, not at Ricky as PI, but at Ricky becoming any damn thing at all. A deep sigh. The victim, Jesse Warren, was somebody's son. Someone who hoped young Jesse would still have the chance to become something. Powder turned to the case he had been assigned. After the collision, Jesse Warren's bike had been stolen. Powder was to try to find the bike thief. At Jesse Warren's home address, a woman answered the bell quickly. Small, dark-haired, she jumped back as Powder held open his ID. Mrs. Warren? Yes, is it? As far as I know, Jesse's condition hasn't changed. Oh, thank God! She exhaled as big a breath as Powder could ever remember hearing. She blinked. I talked to, a lot of you people yesterday. I'm here about Jesse's bike. His bike? The bicycle Jesse was riding was taken from the scene after the accident. It was reported as stolen. Powder pretended to consult his notebook, though he knew what it said. By Frank Warren? My other son reported the bike as stolen? If that's who Frank Warren is, yes, ma'am. She shook her head. Frankie went down to where it happened. Printer, between South 18th and 19th. He went down there as soon as we got the call to find out what happened, he said. I went to the hospital where they said poor Jesse was taken. Community South. And Frank? Joined me there. He didn't say anything about the bike. She lowered her head. Maybe I wasn't in real good shape to talk to. He reported the bicycle as stolen at, this time he did need to check his notes, 3:18, that's about 3 hours after the incident. Perhaps then it was logged, maybe at the scene. Mrs. Warren shrugged. I don't know. Where's Frank now? School. I studied the photographs taken at the crime scene. Crime, Mrs. Warren said vaguely. And none of them shows a bicycle. I'm guessing it was taken by a passerby. Pause. What time did Frank go down to Printer Street? I have no idea. I mean, did he go there as soon as you were informed about the accident? Oh, I see. He was here when an officer came by. We left the house about the same time, which had been about 2, according to the notes Powder had. Okay, Frank had been at home early afternoon on a Sunday. Jesse out riding. No family meal? But lots of patterns were different these days. And Ricky hadn't seen much benefit from eating on Sundays with his squabbling parents. Does anyone beside you and the 2 boys live here, ma'am? No, not anymore. Frank's the older brother? He's nearly 17. Does he have a bicycle? He didn't use it. It's the one Jesse had. Frankie wanted to sell it. He's saving up money for a car, but I wouldn't let him. I gave him some cash. Jesse got the bike. Recently? Jesse's birthday was week before last. Information Powder also already had. Do you have a picture of the bike, Mrs. Warren? Or one that has the bike in it? After a search, she found a picture of Frank standing proudly by his new bike when he was 12. Powder also borrowed a picture of Jesse. It couldn't hurt. Mrs. Warren did not, however, have any purchase records or serial number for the bike. Can you remember anything that was unusual about the bike's current appearance? Did either of the boys personalize it? I know Frankie took the bell off a few weeks after I gave it to him. I'm thinking more of recent things that might help identify it now. Jesse bought some handle grips with silver tassels. I don't know whether he got around to putting them on. She shook her head slowly. It was black, which Powder could see from the picture. So, he thought as he left the modest home, Frank got a friend to run Jesse down, just enough to knock him off, and he was on hand to scoop the bike up and whisk it off to be sold. Back home in time for an alibi. Conspiracy. He'd be out in a few years. Able to get his high school diploma in juvie. Powder could hear Frank now. He wasn't supposed to get hurt that bad. And eventually, I have to have a car. My girlfriend Petula says I gotta, and she won't do it with me again until I do. It's shaming her. All her girlfriend's boyfriends got cars. It was an accident. I got Dwayne to do it for me. I had Jesse meet me and gave Dwayne the signal for when to come out. If IPD wants to reboot my rank to all those years ago, then they can reboot how interviews were conducted back then, too, Powder thought. But he shuddered, recalling some of the stories he'd heard when he first joined the force. Printer Street was between 18th and 19th, and more than 2 miles from the Warren home. The area was residential. Mrs. Warren hadn't been able to offer any suggestions as to why Jesse had been riding there around noon on a Sunday. Heading to visit a school friend? Stalking a cute classmate? In his very youth, Powder had repeatedly walked past the house of a girl he liked, hoping to get a glimpse of her, which never happened. He hadn't had a bike, but the principle was the same. Why did children visit friends nowadays? Had Jesse ridden his new bike to some richer kid's house so he could spend the whole day inside playing a computer game? Or the house of a kid who was fat and unsocial, supported by worried parents who knew no other way to get little Johnny to mix with other kids at all? Or little Leroy? Was that how it all worked for screenagers nowadays? But that didn't explain who stole the bike after Jesse was hit en route. Or was Jesse on his way back home from somewhere, something? On Printer, Powder recognized an officer who stood by police tape markers as he approached after parking nearby. Flowers, he said, how's it going? The tall young woman frowned for a moment, then placed his face. Sergeant Powder, you come to give me a break? From this unique opportunity to help you become a better cop? Say what? You're being paid to inhabit a crime scene and all you can think about is leaving it? He shook his head. I was told to keep people off till the detective clears it. Flowers shrugged. Paid to hang out here with time to examine every inch, maybe find something that will transform Detective Sampson's understanding of the incident? Flowers recognized she was being criticized. I'm not allowed to leave. I can't go looking for witnesses. But people walk past or across the street. Have you called them over? Asked them if they saw something or heard something? Well, no. Or examined the alley? Are there spin marks that show if the car that hit the little boy was waiting and then accelerated out when the driver saw him? That would say one thing. If they aren't there, that would say something else. Alleys are great places for marks and traces, dirt and gravel. How about a fresh pool of oil maybe leaking from a car that was waiting around till it spotted the Vic? Is that what they think now, Sergeant, that the kid was run down on purpose? I'm inviting you to think, Flowers. What might have happened? And what else do you have to spend your time on? Yeah, I guess, yeah. Then, what are you doing out here, Sergeant? Looking for exactly the same things you could have saved me the trouble of looking for. Flowers frowned. They put you on the case? I'm concentrating on what happened to the bicycle the injured boy was riding. It disappeared from the scene. We don't know when, but it wasn't in any of the pictures, and it wasn't returned to the boy's mom. Okay, Flowers nodded. Someone picked it up. Maybe gonna fix it for the kid before returning it? You have an optimistic nature, Flowers. Are you sure you're cut out for the police? She froze. Why are you saying that? I'm just thinking. Whatever. While you're here, please ask people who passed by if they saw the incident. If they can ID the car, describe the driver, say how many people were in the car, and ask if they noticed someone taking the bike. Okay, I will, Sergeant. Or look out for people riding past here on bikes. Sometimes perps like to return to the scene of their crime. Flowers blinked, decided he was being serious. Okay. How much longer will you have the opportunity to study this location? Till my shift ends at 5, or they send someone to relieve me, or they reopen the scene to the public. You want me to cover you for half an hour while you get something to eat, maybe go to the camp? She tilted her head and said, thank you, I'd appreciate that. He nodded, and she left for her car. Powder examined the alley, the street, and the sidewalks near where the alley joined Printer. Once he was satisfied there was nothing relevant to be seen, he dropped a quarter in the gravel. Flowers should be rewarded if she did use her time to study the scene. Two women, each walking a dog, came by. Neither even knew there'd been an incident, but one had been drawn across the street by the police tape and asked questions. Powder answered them. She might speak with someone else who knew more than she did. You never know. Flowers came back with a drinks bottle and 2 sandwiches. She held one out. Even sergeants have to eat. Powder was touched. It's vegan sausage. So you do think about some things, he said. Aren't you a sweetie? Tell me about this bike. He showed the picture. Black, as you can see, but the handlebars may have grips with silver tassels now. Tassels, like on a stripper? Yeah, Powder said, like on a stripper. He gave his head a little shake. Okay, Flowers said, and should I tell Detective Sampson if I get any information? He gave her his card. Me for the bike, Sampson for anything else. A nod. I'll be around the neighborhood for a while anyway. Because she'd given him a sandwich, he explained. Canvassing houses about the bike, red cars, and witnesses. They did that yesterday. Well, not about the bike. Where? She waved both ways along Printer. Is that all? He said with a smile. He walked away. Powder focused on the houses on 18th and 19th Streets that backed onto the alley. He was particularly interested in any where there was a small red car. Unsurprisingly, for a modest residential area, fewer than half the doors he knocked on were answered on a Monday morning. But where they were, he also asked about neighbors. He located the homes of a few red cars. Although none was particularly small or known to have been stolen, he made notes. Only one was available for examination, but it was a people carrier and showed no signs of recent collisions. But he also repeatedly asked one question that he was pretty sure hadn't yet been asked in the neighborhood. It was more than just, "Have you seen this bike?" It was, "If you had a bicycle that needed repair, where would you take it?" Because chances were that the bike, like Jesse, would have sustained some damage. He got four different answers. To the dump, to my dad, he's good at fixing stuff. I'd look up bike repair online. I'd ask my brother, he has a bike. But he eventually hit pay dirt from the resident of a tidy one-story house on the second block up from Printer, Powder having thought that the red car might have come down more than one block's worth of alley. The dark green door was answered by a lean, elderly man who peered over half-glasses at Powder's ID. "Police, eh?" A closer look. "A sergeant, Powder wondered what that was supposed to mean, but began by describing what had happened, where, when, and then asking whether the man, Hank Ford, knew anything about it, owned a red car, or knew of a neighbor who had a small red car. "Don't know nothing about cars, young feller," Hank Ford said. "Pretty ironical, considering my name." When Powder didn't react immediately, Ford elaborated. "Hank for Henry. My folks named me after the Model T guy. Probably hoped I'd become rich like him, but without hating Jews or the colored. My folks didn't take to none of that kind of talk, despite we was poor ourselves. But I never did take to cars neither. Don't like 'em. Always got around on bicycles. Thought I was behind the times all my life, only nowadays it seems I was ahead of the times. It's all get rid of the cars if you don't want Indiana flooded over by the oceans." When Ford paused to take a breath, Powder held up the picture of Frankie Warren and his new bike. "Moving on from cars, Mr. Ford, have you ever seen this bicycle?" Ford took the picture and peered closely at it. Then he stepped back into his house. For a moment, Powder wondered if he was going to have to pursue him to get the photograph back, but Ford reappeared with a large magnifying glass with its own illumination. "Thought so," he said. "Can't shut him up, can't get him to talk," Powder thought. "What do you mean?" he prompted. "Got this in my workshop," Ford said. "Mangled back wheel. You'd think that was the gist of it, but some other things ain't right neither. Know much about bicycles, young feller?" Powder managed to get himself led through Ford's immaculate but masculine house to a garage that was filled with tools and work surfaces. The black bike from the picture was upside down on a large wooden bench, missing its back wheel. "I told little Herbie that I'd see if I could straighten her out. No guarantees because of the torques involved. But if I can't do that, he's going to have to buy a new one. New to him, I mean. Second-hand wheel would do just fine. It's the tire that'd be best new." He turned to a large vise where a metal wheel was held up between large grippers. "Loosen the spokes, so we'll see how the shape stays after we've had the pressure on a couple of days." "Little Herbie?" That's Big Herbie's boy. Big Herbie, what died in Afghanistan. Sad business. Powder nodded, but said, did little Herbie say where he got the bike? Hank Ford straightened. Well, no, can't say as he did. I didn't ask mine, just figured his mom got some savings together or something. Birthday? He shrugged. Nope, didn't ask. Is it something you're interested in? It is, Mr. Ford. Ford stared for an Indianapolis minute. Sure hope the boy ain't in no trouble. Hard to say, Powder said. But it could be he saw something important that happened down the street yesterday. Yeah? There was a hit-and-run accident. Do you know where I might find little Herbie? Ford tightened his lips. You need to tell me, Hank, because I'll find out anyway. I expect you will, Sergeant. I'm Roy, and I appreciate that you're willing to help a neighborhood boy, especially one without a father. You his dad, Ford said. 3 houses down, across the street, plaid mailbox. Really? Last name Smith. Sally's got a bit of a sense of humor. So does little Herbie. I'll do what I can, Powder said. Ford understood that Powder was talking about minimizing any trouble little Herbie might be in. Appreciate that. But Hank, please don't do any more work on the bicycle until our forensic people get a look at it. There might be some paint residues on it. Red? So we've been told. Who knows? We might be able to get another car off the road. Although it was a Monday morning, little Herbie was at home. He stood about 5 feet tall and was as thin as Jimmy Rail had been when playing basketball for Kokomo High, Powder thought, realizing the boy would have no idea who Rail had been. He asked, Herbie? Mom's not home. But you are. Home for lunch, the boy said quickly. Herbie, I'm a policeman. Powder held up his badge. Really? Powder gave the badge to the boy who cradled it. My dad was police. Yeah? Military police, but I never saw his badge. Powder held out his hand and received the badge back. They call you Little Herbie after him, don't they? A smile and a nod. He was Big Herbie. I'd like to talk with you, Little Herbie. I can come back later when your mom's here. When do you think she'll get home? Comes in about 5:30. A frown. She in trouble? The voice quavered a bit. Not that I know about. Pause. Am I? That kind of depends. Powder thought about what to say next. He chose, can we sit on the step and talk some? Little Herbie seemed comfortable coming out of the house. What about, he said after sitting at the top of the 3 steps that led up to the door. But as Powder sat, little Herbie jumped up. You want a pop? That would be nice, thank you. The boy dashed inside, leaving the door open. Moments later, he returned with 2 cans. RC or Dr. Pepper? You pick first, Powder said. Little smile. I hate RC, but Mom loves it. They popped the cans. Powder held his out, and little Herbie knew to clink it for a toast. How old was he? 11, 12? Oh, a bit small for his age, if that's what he was. They drank. Powder said, it's about the bike you picked up yesterday. It was just laying there, Herbie said, quickly enough for Powder to know he'd worked out. That might be what he'd be asked about. I expect it was. Can you tell me what you saw? I said it was just laying there. I mean, before that, there was an accident. Yeah, Herbie said, burying some emotion at the memory in a long drink, then another. You're not going to get in any trouble about the accident. I just want to know what you saw. There was this kid, little Herbie said, on the bike? Yeah. Blood rushed into the boy's face as he pictured the scene. And this car come out of the alley, must have been doing 100, and it hit the kid's bike back wheel real hard. And the kid went spinning in the air, must have been 2 or 3 times, and he flew off the bike. It was like he had wings for a minute. And then the kid landed on the sidewalk and rolled up against a little wooden fence. And the bike, well, the bike flew away too, out into the street. And the car hightailed it. Tell me about the car. Scarlet, 4-door. A Fiesta SE, I think. How old? About 6 or 7 years. License plate? Indiana. Had 2 7s in it. That's my lucky number. But he shook his head. Tell me about the driver. Silence. You knew the driver, didn't you, Herbie? Not saying nothing about that. Even though you know that the boy on the bike was hurt bad. Is he not dead? A big exhalation. I bet it looks scary as hell, Powder said. A little smile. At the bad word? Sure did. Scary as hell. Then I thought he was dead. I never seen someone dead. No? I saw my dad's casket, but not him. I'm sorry your father isn't here, Herbie. Me too, head down. Quietly, Powder asked, was there anyone else in the car, as well as the driver? No, I don't. The girlfriend of the guy you recognized? A shrug. Little Herbie tipped his can back and finished it, even though there was a lot left. Anyone else in the car? Powder repeated. Maybe. You're not in trouble for what you saw, Herbie. And I tell you what, I'm going to see if a nice policewoman will come back later and get together with you and your mom to talk about it all. Little Herbie smirked. What? A woman policeman? Funny, yeah, Powder said. I'm sure she'll sort all that out. Where does your mom work, Herbie? Nordstrom's. The one on Keystone? Yeah. Tell you what, some more. Nervous giggle. Some more, he echoed. You stick around here, okay? Wait for your mom? Cautiously, little Herbie said, okay, then, but? What? What about the bike? You picked it up? Yeah, I was in the middle of the street. Other cars, they just run over it. So you brought it home? Well, or did you take it straight to Hank? Slight smile. You know Hank? Everybody knows Hank around here, don't they? I guess. We'll leave the bike with him for now, okay? Yeah, but little Herbie sat up straighter. They keep saying about climate change and pollution. I thought if I had a bike, I wanted to save the planet. I wish we all did, Powder said unguardedly. Am I in trouble for the bike? But before Powder could reply, the boy dashed into the house. Assessing the move was unlikely to be an attempt to escape to Canada or Kokomo, Powder stayed where he was. And within a few minutes, little Herbie was back at the steps and sat down. 'Cause I got this. Powder examined an orange piece of cardboard. It was a get-out-of-jail-free card from a Monopoly set. Powder nodded slowly. You can only play this once, you know, he said. Yeah. So I'm going to take it and see if I can make it work this time. I'll give it to the woman policeman and tell her it's yours and see what she says. Vigorous nods. The bike will probably have to go back to the boy who was hurt. more nods, less vigorous. But you did get it out in the street, kept it from being run over. I saved its ass, little Herbie said, unable to control the little laugh. Yep, Powder said, standing up. He offered Herbie his empty can, then put his hand out. The two men shook. Before going downtown, Powder stopped again at the crime scene. Flowers was leaning against her car. How's it going? Powder asked. Pretty good, Sergeant. Still not been relieved? Someone's on the way now. Find anything? Nothing relating to the crime, but, she said with a smile, I found a quarter and two dimes in the alley. Powder smiled. See, stuff turns up if you look. Guess so. I hope you're going to turn them in. Damn right. But I also talked with an old guy who said he saw the accident. Yeah? Flowers took out a notebook. Said the car was red, but it didn't look like it had a driver. What? Guy didn't see anyone in it at all. Said it came out of the alley real fast. He thought maybe it was one of them self-driving cars gone wrong. This guy, the one I talked to, he was real short, though. Maybe that's why he couldn't see a driver. Good thinking, Powder said. Okay, you've used your time. Maybe it didn't solve everything, but next go-round, who knows? If you don't try, you don't have a chance. A nod. Then a patrol car came around a corner. Powder left Flowers to be relieved by her relief. It took Powder a while to track down Sam Sampson, but eventually he spotted the new detective as she entered the squad room. She headed for what must be her desk. He let her get settled and stood in front of her. Looking up, she stood. Wow, the Leroy Powder. She extended her hand. The hand made Powder feel wrong-footed, but he shook it. I always wondered if you were real, Sampson said, or just an urban legend my dad used to try to scare me out of joining the police. I'm an actor, Powder said, hired by the day. You got me. I'll only charge your dad half price. Sampson sat and gestured for Powder to do the same. How is the perennial thorn in Indy's paw these days? He asked. Reflective, ornery, thinks he's funny. Nothing new there, then. He's pretty well, all in all. Getting any work? Some, and he's got this client who keeps coming back for more. Is it love? Client's unusual, I can say that much. And you? Can't complain, but I try. After a moment, Sampson said, my dad feels you did the right thing about going to the press about Captain LeQuint and then testifying against him. He admires your guts. Enough to offer me a job? It won't come to that, will it? Good cops gotta do the right thing, Powder said. And what happens, happens. I wish I could be sure I'd have the strength of character to go through with something like that. You're your father's daughter. True, she said, but I hope it never gets tested. We all hope that. A sigh, then. So what can I do for you? I think it's what I can do for you, detective. Go for it. You've got the Jesse Warren case. Nod. Sampson pulled a file from just below the top of a stack. You have information? I have a question. To make me a better cop, she said with a wry smile. Why not, Powder said. We're all works in progress. True that, so. Jesse Warren's bicycle was not at the scene, Powder said. Why not? She pulled out a piece of paper and a couple of pictures. Someone picked it up. I talked with Lieutenant Hunter, and he said he'd assigned someone to schlep around the neighborhood to look for it. Yeah. Oh, Christ, not you. Thought he was going to send out some rookie patrolman. He must have decided the assignment was too important, so he brought in the first team. I'm sorry, Samson said. Don't be, life's too short. He put a piece of paper in front of her. She didn't look. This is. A witness knows the driver and the passenger. Yeah. It's the boy who picked up the bicycle, even though it was badly damaged. He took it to be recycled, and he wants to save the planet. He shouldn't be punished for that. His mother will be back about 5:30, but you can decide whether to pull her out of work before then. The kid's staying home meanwhile. It's all there. Samson looked at the sheet of paper. I didn't give the boy his rights, and there was no adult present when we talked, so a prosecution wouldn't stand up. Besides, he had this. He passed over the get-out-of-jail-free card. I explained that it can only be used the once. Powder found Hunter in front of a vending machine. The man was muttering and looking as if he was deciding whether to punch it. Careful, Chief, Powder said. A malicious damage prosecution won't help your prospects. Hunter was frowning as he turned to the voice. The frown deepened when he saw whose voice it was. What? Powder enjoyed the peevishness in the man's tone. I was looking for you, and you found me. What a great detective you are. I wanted to congratulate you. Hunter was not mollified. What about? It was an act of inspiration to assign a top-class detective to pursue the missing bicycle angle in the Jesse Warren hit-and-run. I'd been planning to quit after all the crap and disrespect I've been put through about LeQuint. But I can see now that I owe it to the department to keep working. I'm grateful that you entrusted the job to me. A deep sigh was followed by, what twisted crap are you trying to sling now, Powder? Mixing your metaphors, Chief, you need... He looked at the vending machine. A sugar hit? I don't have time. I just want you to know that Detective Samson and I talked it through. I didn't solve the case, but I gave her information that will enable her to clear it today or tomorrow. If you hadn't had the foresightful perspicacity to focus part of the investigation on the missing bike, who knows how much longer it would have taken or whether it would ever have been solved at all. Powder left the man struggling with a speechless moment, as well as the vending machine. Was it Hunter's unaccustomed experience of being complimented or being hit with 8 syllables, even if they were spread between 2 words, he wondered.
The Cards You're Dealt is copyrighted by Michael Z. Lewin. Music for the podcast was obtained from purpleplanet.com. Mixing and editing for the podcast were done by Ray Purdom and Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at ellerycleanmysterymagazine.com.